And you're welcome back to The Grapevine. This is Joan Geraghty filling in for Aidan Crowley. Just to mention before the ads, we had Liam Byrne and Jimmy Blake previewing Ireland's match in the World Cup coming up at the weekend. On the line now, I have Sabina Trench from Schlienua Careers. Are you there, Sabina?
Hello, Joan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Sabina. And thank you for coming on again this week to tell us, well, to give some advice to young people who are still trying to find their feet and find where they should go with their careers. Mm-hmm. I have a query. I'm going to read it out to you and hopefully you'll have all the answers, Sabina. So the query is, I have been sending out my CV to various companies looking for work. One has called me in for interview, but I don't know what job they have in mind for me. How do I prepare?
Oh, okay, right, okay, that's a good question. Yes, I suppose this is something that we do a lot with people. You know, while there's a lot of jobs out there and there's a lot advertised in your, you know, jobs.ie, your local press and various, you know, local radio stations and that, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of jobs that are unadvertised, I suppose, and we call them, you know, the hidden jobs. Okay. So we do encourage people to do exactly what your listener has done and send their CVs out, even to companies that aren't, we'll say, proactively advertising jobs at the moment, but maybe it's a good fit for you and your experience. So this isn't an untypical situation for people where they're literally called in like that, you know, thanks for sending in your CV. Would you be able to come in and have maybe, might be called an informal interview or might be called a chat or indeed it might be just called an interview altogether. Mm. And that's great because obviously they've seen something that interests them on the CV, but it is difficult for you for sure because you're going
blind.
Are they looking for, you know, me to work on the line, or I've got admin experience, maybe they're looking for me in the office, or you're just kind of not sure.
Mm.
So I suppose one of the things, a straightforward thing you could do is ask, you know, but in some of those cases, they may not be able to tell you. You know, you might just get a phone call from somebody ringing on behalf of HR and they might not know the information and they mightn't be able to maybe get you in touch with the person that is needed and you mightn't have much notice to find out.
Mm.
So you can ask, but you may not get what you're looking for because from their point of view, they might not be 100% sure either.
Right.
So the other thing then is, at the very least, you know where you're going. So you know the name of the business or the name of the organization that you're going into for the chat. So what you need to do is find out as much as you can about the organization just generally or the company. And if possible, particularly in a local area, do you know anybody who's working there at the minute or somebody who knows somebody who's working there at the minute who might be able to give you an idea of, yeah, they're looking for people down in the warehouse at the minute because maybe coming up to the Christmas period, it's manic down there and they're going to need about 10 more people for the next 3 months or whatever it might be.
Mm.
You know, so you're trying in some ways to get an idea of what the opportunities might be. But the other part as well, because you're in a bit of no man's land, what you're trying to do is trying to figure out how you might fit in a more broad sense in the organisation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, it might be if it's a very big place, like a place that's, you know, employing 200 people, it's more likely that you'd be given a very defined job in a department. Or if it was a kind of a start-up somewhere, you might be more likely to be asked, you know, do you know much about social media? You might do something for us there, but, you know, we also need you to do a bit of, you know, admin work in the back office, or have you got any accounting, you know, experience? So you might be more what we'd call like a generalist. You
yeah.
might be asked to do a range of tasks.
Mm.
So if you knew that the business was big or small, you might be able to kind of, I suppose, make a reasonable stab at, you know, guessing where your fit might be.
Sure. That's really good advice, actually, Sabina, because really what you're talking about is, and what every job seeker should do, is research the company you're trying to get a job in before you go for the interview, so you know what it's about and, as you say, whether it's a good fit for you. In regard to the query then, where they say they have been called in for an interview even though they don't know what the job is, like, obviously it's a good sign that they have been called in for an interview. There must have been something on the CV that appealed to the potential employer.
Yeah, and even if you haven't had a chance, will say, you know, when the person has rung you to say, you know, Mary wants to have a chat with you, or, you know, has asked you to come in for interview, you could, you know, in throughout the interview, maybe early on, say, you know, I've a lot of different experience. We'll say, maybe if they ask you to talk about your CV or talk, tell them a bit about yourself, and we'll say maybe you've got a varied work history, you might say, well, I have, you know, as you can see on my CV, quite a varied history. Is there an area in there in particular that you're most interested in? Mm-hmm. And that would lead you maybe to having a bit of a more of an idea or a conversation about where the opportunity is. But definitely they've seen something, so it is very positive. But it's just that when you're trying to prepare, because, you know, when it's on your mind and you're thinking of going in, you don't necessarily, you don't want to try and wing it either. Mm. But yeah, the research is definitely helpful. But I'll tell you, I had a client who was called in for an interview like that, you know, no job specifically. But before he was leaving the interview, or just as it was ending, they turned around to him and said, all right, and there's an aptitude test now. So do you have 20 minutes or a half an hour that you could sit down and do the aptitude test? Mm. And he was standing there in front of them. And now he actually did have an appointment to go to, just the way his day was. And he said, well, oh gosh, I actually have an appointment to do, and, you know, it would it be possible for me to come back another day? And he was completely thrown.
Yeah.
He rang me afterwards and he said, God, I don't know if I did the right thing. You know, they did ask me to do the aptitude test, and I just said, absolutely, you did the right thing, because they take practice. And believe you me, they take practice.
That's more good advice, actually, Sabina.
Yeah,
yes, you can practice for aptitude tests.
Oh, absolutely. You can practice for them, and you need to practice for them. Even if you're a mathematician or a fantastic, fantastic it's your language and English language, because a lot of them can be, verbal reasoning, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You still need to get in the zone for aptitude tests. So luckily for him, so that night, because he said he'd go back the next day, and that night he said, well, can you send me some links? And I sent him some links, and he rang me afterwards and he went, thank God I didn't just go into that test without doing something. He said, I'd never have done as well as if I'd gone in just after the interview. But the fact was, there he was in for that interview, he didn't know what the job was, and he certainly had no idea that there might be an aptitude test as well.
Yeah, you'd expect forewarning with something like that. And tell us the happy
news
at the end of that story. Did he or did he not gain employment?
He did get the job, and he was absolutely thrilled, because it was a bit of a career change for him.
Yeah.
So he did get it, but, you know, he was worried that he'd kind of maybe messed it up by not being more cooperative about the tests, you know, because he had something else
to
go to.
Of course, you don't want to say no ever to a potential employer.
Yeah, well, this is it. And in fairness, the HR person was really, you know, see, it's often our own fear. Like, he said she was so nice, and she said, oh, absolutely, that's no problem. You know, I just thought if you had 20 minutes, you could do it, but there's no problem about coming back tomorrow to do it. And as it turned out, it was a godsend, because he definitely said he would not have performed as well if he had gone in without any practice.
Well, it was great he had spoken to you, Sabina. You know, it's not straightforward, is it? Just sending in your CV and going for an interview. There's a lot of psychological work you have to do in advance as well.
There is. And even in that initial phone call, maybe, you know, just ask, is it, you know, in some companies you might know, especially in the multinationals, you might know that there's an aptitude test. You might be able to ask, is it just an interview, or might there be an aptitude test as well?
Mm.
In a lot of cases, there won't be, but just ask every time. You just never know.
And I mean, I've seen some of those aptitude tests, and they are very confusing. And as you say, they're multi-skills, and they do call on your reasoning and your mathematical and your geography. And like, what are those tests? Can you just describe what an aptitude test would be like?
Well, I suppose they come in a variety of categories. So there's one test that's used, and it's used quite a lot in the public sector, and it would be verbal reasoning. So those would be like little stories, you know, little paragraphs that you have to read, and you have to answer questions after it. Usually it's true, false, or cannot say.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, you're trying to almost speed read, because in pretty much all cases, not all, but 99% of cases, you're under a time pressure.
Right.
So you have to do maybe 18 questions in 15 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
So
that's pressure.
On the verbal reasoning one, you just need to have, you know, good understanding of language and be able to read quite quickly. In other jobs, they might have situational judgment tests. So that might be, you know, Mary has just joined the team and it seems like she's struggling. You notice it. What do you do about it? And it gives you some options. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you're talking, like you're saying, about the numerical stuff. And generally, it's kind of, it's fairly straightforward, you know, adding, multiplication, maybe some division, ratios, things like that. But I'll tell you here and now, I don't do that sort of stuff every day in my work. I don't know about
no,
you.
No.
But you do, it probably isn't much more than you probably did in about sixth class, maybe first year in school, secondary school. But in saying that, you do need to polish those off, those
yeah.
skills off, unless you're working with numbers and accounts all day. And even at that, I would still say that you'd need to do the practice.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's the ones like that are the images, you know, the ones that I just can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it's, you know, those dots
the visual
and dashes
tests.
And what's
yeah.
the next one in the sequence.
Yeah.
And those can tend to be used a lot
logic
in more
tests,
technical work.
Yeah.
But they are definitely practicable, if that's a word,
yeah.
also. And you definitely would find quite a lot of free resources online for all of those.
That's great, Sabina. Okay, well, that's terrific advice today. Thank you very much and for answering that query. We look forward to having you back in the Grapevine next week with Aidan.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, Joan.
Thanks, Sabina. Take care.
Bye, Joe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.